إني ألقى الإناس في صومي وصلاتي ودعائي للرحمن وجميع الطاعات.
What I'm saying is that what you have to argue against, you basically have to guess in order to argue. You have no solid, and this is what, subhanAllah, I'll tell you one thing, yeah? SubhanAllah means
glory be to God. You're only going to tell me one thing.
Now, I'll tell you what the Quran says, yeah, because it's interesting. Let me tell you this. It says, أَمْ خُلُقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقِ were they created from themselves? Chapter 52, verse 35, yeah? Or were they themselves the creators? أَمْ خُلِقُ مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing, or were themselves the creators, yeah? أَمْ خَلَقُ السَّمَوَاتِ.
A false dichotomy.
Well, hold on, it's not a false dichotomy.
Which you claim?
Well, we'll talk about it in a second. False dichotomy. And by the way, it's not even a dichotomy, because this is a third option. أَمْ خَلَقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Yeah, or did they create the heavens and the earth? In other words, were they themselves that did something allow for the universe to be created?
بَلَّا
يُقِنُونَ. Certainly they have no certainty. Absolutely.
Why do we need certainty?
There you go.
That's the problem.
So what you're doing by saying that is you're confirming the Quranic statement.
Yes.
You have no idea of what you believe in.
Exactly. Okay.
You don't know, you have no evidence of what you believe in.
That's
not true. Here,
that's false.
You have no
that's
evidence.
That's just false.
No.
Okay, so let me respond. Please don't interrupt me.
Okay, can I stop him?
One more line. Okay.
So I don't feel like I need to, yeah? What I'm saying is not that you don't have no evidence. Everyone's true standard is, look, everyone has some evidence for anything, but I'm just saying that we have evidence that the earth is flat. Yeah, and this man can be happy, the flat earth guy, whatever his name is. Where is he? I don't know, he's running away now. But he believes the earth is flat. He's got evidence the earth is flat. He's got his own evidence. What we're saying is that, look, you have no definitive evidence which can lead you to certain truth. Now, what I'm saying to you is, and that's what the Quran is saying, those who deny God's existence, those who deny the creatorship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God actually is the one who created the universe, will always have an argument which is based on a presupposition which itself cannot be substantiated.
Yeah.
And I tell you now, I dare and challenge you in front of all of these people to find me one piece of evidence which can be said to be certain truth, which goes against the thesis of God and goes against the main arguments that we have against God. That's my challenge. Otherwise, you can say, look, you can be the same thing. You can say the same thing about infinity. Say, we don't know if it exists or not in the real world. Say at least the same thing about God. Be an agnostic today. Don't say we're an atheist. Say, okay, in that case, we don't know if this creator, this entity outside the universe exists or not.
Can I respond?
Yes.
Without interruption?
No interruption.
Go on.
Okay. I'm keeping an eye on you.
All right. So first off, I agree we don't have certain knowledge. Okay? But so what? We don't need certain knowledge. Like, if you get on an aeroplane, are you certain that plane isn't going to crash? No, you're not. But do you get on it anyway? Of course you do, because the evidence is that it's reliable. Okay? And you use reliability as your benchmark, not certainty. You're right, we don't have certainty. There might be a God. I'm not saying there definitely is no God.
Yeah.
Thank you for being respectful, my friend.
Thank you. Right.
Now we're going to
okay.
go with some of the...
All right. Okay.
We're not done yet.
We ain't done yet.
We have to get...
Right? But that doesn't matter, because the benchmark is not certainty. The benchmark is evidence. Do we have sufficient evidence to say certain statements are true?
Yes.
Or do we have some statements to say they're at least, you know, some evidence for something to be true? Now, what's happened, what we're debating here is this argument called the Quran cosmological argument. Okay? And the argument has been made, right, that the universe began to exist, and the gentleman here quoted three different reasons for saying that it exists. One was Big Bang cosmology. Well, we showed that is false. Okay, the Big Bang cosmology does not point to the universe.
I haven't said that. By the way, that was my argument. Just to be clear.
Okay.
You can make that
right. Even if you did, and other Muslims.
But we said this, gentleman. So I have to be fair.
I think you did, but if I
didn't mention it.
If I misremembered, I apologize. Yeah. Other Muslim apologists.
It's on camera, anyways. Yeah.
Other Muslim apologists have. Right, and so a Christian apologist.
I'm not even a Muslim apologist.
Okay, all right.
I'm here educating the people with it.
So that is false. We've also had the suggestion that the second law of thermodynamics proves the universe has a beginning.
No, I didn't even say that.
I asked you
about it.
Okay, well, I'm answering you. Okay, first off, the assumption for the second law, right, would assume the universe has to be finite. But we don't know whether it's finite. So if the universe is infinite, then that argument is invalid. Okay, so we cannot say that this proves the universe has a beginning, because it's quite possible that the universe is infinite. We don't know, it may or may not be, but the fact that we don't know means that the argument cannot proceed to its conclusion. There also may be dynamical reasons. First off,
yes,
the second law is a statistical law.
Okay.
It's not like the Newtonian laws,
right.
i.e. there's a probability for it to be true, and the probability is overwhelming.
Yes, yes.
However, if you wait a long enough time, then of course you can violate the second law, right? There also might be dynamical processes.
How can you
Well, I'll explain in a second, right? There may be dynamical processes that set the universe into a low entropy point. So, if, for example, in loop quantum gravity, this is exactly what happens. Because as a contracting universe before the Big Bang, the entropy of the previous universe is trapped on the horizon. It doesn't go through into the expanding universe. And therefore, the entropy would effectively be reset. It wouldn't actually be a violation of the second law. You're just describing things in a different way in this quantum gravity perspective. So the second law argument does not work. The cosmology argument doesn't work. The argument has been made that you cannot have infinity. You cannot, you know, in the real world. We said that Hilbert made this argument. It was based on a false assumption. Furthermore, what we've learned about, I interviewed Sir Roger Penrose, who is one of the constructors of the Penrose-Hawking singularity theorem, and he said you can have an infinite past because what the old ancient philosophers did not know was that time is different in relativity than in our everyday lives. And there can be particles that experience all moments of time at once.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Hang on. Let me just finish.
He hasn't finished.
Right.
Is there time limits or something?
Let's finish.
Okay. We can make a time limit if you want.
No. But first,
let me finish.
Let's be fair.
We'll
so you finish because we didn't give you a time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you've got to give me time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
After.
Right. Well, let's do like 3 minutes each or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll
okay.
Yeah,
right.
Finish.
Okay. So.
Like a boxing round.
Yeah. Okay. We should do a dance off. Okay. So what Penrose said was that for massless particles, they don't feel the passage of time. So energy can actually transverse the infinite. This statement that something can transverse the infinite is assuming a passage of time that's like our normal experience of the world. What Penrose says is that this is false, that massless particles can do so, and therefore that argument is invalid too. Okay, so we're not saying that we know the universe is eternal in the past. We don't know that,
right?
But we don't know that it had a beginning either. Okay, and the arguments that supposedly prove it has a beginning are not valid arguments.
Okay.
And the last point to make is, even if the universe did have a beginning, you can't necessarily say that it has a cause, because causes that we understand and we know in our everyday world, they exist in time.
Okay.
But you're trying to. But if there was a beginning to the universe, then there wasn't any time before the beginning of the universe, because time is part of the universe. That's what we learn when we study relativity.
No, hold on.
Therefore, you are not in a position to say that causality.
It's going
to
end now.
Yes, I'm just about to finish.
You're
therefore,
finishing.
We're not in a position to say that causality would necessarily apply if the universe had a beginning.
No, but you know, can I tell you something? That last comment that you made about time.
Is it 3 minutes? 3 minutes now?
Let's do three minutes.
No, hold on. I'm going to have like 7 minutes, and then you can have 3 minutes. Because you just had like 5 or 6
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, but so did you before.
Allah said, we need to speak the truth.
You did.
4 minutes. 4 minutes.
Okay, four.
All right,
okay.
4 minutes each.
Okay,
all right,
ready, go.
Okay, listen to me, guys.
I'll leave it to you, Rob.
Let me tell you something,
He's on the camera.
Generally, what you said, let me just start with the end, What you said about time, generally, is unsubstantiated. Because what you have to understand is that, first of all, in philosophy, you have two theories of time. You have the A theory of time. A theory of time and B theory of time.
Yes.
This is not a scientific discussion. Why? And this is what you keep doing. You keep involving philosophy as if it's science. You're dressing up a philosophical argument in scientific guise. That's disingenuous. Before the universe, you didn't have the systems that we know. We couldn't empirically analyze the universe as it or what's outside the universe. Therefore, to speculate whether there was time or no time is something which we cannot actually do. You're saying that time, under Big Bang cosmology, time must have began at the time of the Big Bang. That doesn't necessarily follow. You can say that the time that we're acquainted with today, whereby we use the laws of physics to determine what time it is, began at the time of Big Bang cosmology, began at the time of the Big Bang. That's a statement you can make. But to say that no time began before the Big Bang took place, if it did take place in the way that we've been told it took place, in that sense, that's a statement you cannot actually make. And by the way, from an Islamic perspective, we believe in time before the universe, just to let you know. We believe that there was time before the universe. How this took effect, this, we say Allah only knows best. Now, that's point two. Point number three, which is more important now, you're saying that, and you've admitted quite, I would say bravely, and I applaud you for admitting this, that you don't know, you don't really know, and I really do applaud you for that, because I think that's intellectual humility, and that's also intellectual humbleness, and also genuine. It's a genuine thing to say. If this the case, yeah.
No, I just saw my best friend.
That's cool. Since you don't know, yeah. I would implore you to think about one thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Me and you actually agree that on a philosophical level. Gary, one second, we'll talk a little later. On a philosophical level, yeah.
Yeah.
That we can criticize almost every idea, but my point to you is that me and you. Yes, we don't employ a deductive reasoning on every single thing. In fact, what we tend to employ, and you would probably agree with me, is a probabilistic type reasoning. So you said yourself, we trace things on reliability. So for example, you said, I probably know I'm here because it's reliable. I go into the plane because it's, and I have trust in the plane that it's not going to crash because I trust in the reliability of the plane. In other words, what you have in your mind working either on an unconscious level or on a conscious level is a probabilistic type reasoning, whereby you go in the plane thinking, you know what, I'm probably not going to crash, that's why I'm going to take this risk. I say, in order to employ a genuine approach with the real world, why not we take the same approach where you're using a probabilistic type reasoning and employ it with theology? I say to you today, and this is a different argument, I didn't even propound the cosmological argument today. I didn't even make it. And it's on camera. I've never said, you know, this. Today, I didn't make that argument. Today, I will make an argument today. And it's not the cosmological argument. Since you've mentioned, and we both agree, hopefully, yeah. that...
30 seconds, make it quick.
That probability is good. Is a way that we come to truth. In that case, since all of the cosmologists almost consensually agree that the universe has fine-tuning, does this not imply that it has intelligence behind it? And if not, why not?
Okay, all right, so very quickly.
4 minutes, go.
Okay, first off, you said that, I said that time began with the Big Bang. I didn't say that. I said if the universe began at the Big Bang.
Okay.
If, okay, then there was no before. Now, of course, you composite that there was a before the Big Bang, but then the universe continues to exist before the Big Bang, and the Big Bang is not the beginning. But the whole argument made by the Kalamists is that the Big Bang is the beginning. Okay?
Okay,
so therefore, this is invalid reasoning. Okay. Yeah? Either the Big Bang was the beginning, in which case you can't say that cause and effect is still operating. I mean, you could speculate that it is, but that's speculation, that's fine, yeah. Right? Or you say the Big Bang was not the beginning, in which case the universe may be eternal into the past, and the Kalam argument is invalid. So, bottom line is about the Kalam argument, it's an invalid argument because we don't know if any of the premises are true. We don't know whether the universe began to exist, it may not have, and we don't know that causality would operate if time really had a beginning.
Okay,
so that is a rubbish argument, don't buy it. Right, now, on to fine-tuning, right? Yeah. First off, you said that fine-tuning implies a designer, right? I say, no, it doesn't, right? First off,
that's an intelligence.
Intelligence, okay. So it doesn't do that. We've got plenty of examples of things that people will point it out to be fine-tuned, and we can show that actually there's a perfectly natural explanation for them. So let me give you an example. This is an example that has been quoted by William Lane Craig, by Hamza Sources, by many, many theologians. They said the expansion rate of the early universe was fine-tuned to 60 decimal places. Okay? So, that statement, and so therefore there must be an intelligent designer who put that number in just right.
Yeah.
Okay? Now it turns out that that number, that fine-tuning, right, depends on gravity always being attractive. Okay? Mm-hmm. However, what evidence from cosmology shows is that there was an early period of inflationary expansion to the universe. And we do have empirical evidence for this. I'm not saying it's overwhelming evidence,
yes,
but I think it's quite strong, okay? And you can watch our films where we explain what that evidence is, okay? Now, what that does is it turns the equations upside down,
yes,
right? So where the evidence is where the evidence is that if inflation did happen, then in fact that number does not need to be fine-tuned. Right. So we now have a natural explanation for this that doesn't imply any intelligent designer at all. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this statement that if something we see to be fine-tuned implies a designer, okay, that statement is false. I mean, we have evidence that statement is false. I'll give you another example. Okay, it was thought that the distance from the Earth to the Sun had to be perfectly fine-tuned. If it was a bit further away, then the Earth would be too cold. If it was a bit too warm, and so life could only exist if Earth, the position of the Earth had to be very delicately fine-tuned. Okay, again, we found out that that argument was invalid. We found that out in two independent ways, not just with one way. One way was we found there was another way to heat a planetary body via gravitational force. So, for example, planetary bodies like Enceladus, like Europa, that are outside of the so-called habitable zone, they actually can be habitable because the water can be heated by tidal forces.
Yeah.
Second off, we've also found that there is, how many?
20 seconds.
We've also found that there's an enormous number of planets out there.
Okay.
Okay. And therefore, you don't need to fine-tune the location because there's so many planets. It's basically like saying, I've won the lottery. It's incredibly improbable.
Yes.
Well, it could be that an intelligent person fixed the lottery, or it could be, simpler explanation, there were lots of lottery tickets sold.
Okay. I'm sorry to say, Phil, right?
Okay.
In your rebuttal, if you want to call it, or what,
attempt
to refute my points, you actually fumbled upon a series of logical fallacies that any onlooker with a just mind would have also realized. Number one, you said we don't know. Yeah? As you said, the reason why we shouldn't take the cosmological argument as a valid argument is because the premises are unfounded, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we don't know if the premises are true.
Correct.
The lack of knowledge of something is not invalidation of the thing. That's a very well-known logical thing. So, for example, if I don't know something, does that mean it doesn't exist? Okay, that's point number one. So you're saying our lack of knowledge of something, or our lack of certain knowledge of something, is tantamount to us rejecting that thing. We should reject that thing. Yes, it's an invalid argument. It's an invalid argument. Why? Because we don't know if the premises are true. Just because we're not certain of the premise being true, does that mean we should completely get rid of it? I'll tell you something. If that's the case, you should employ the same reasoning with mathematics. We don't know that mathematics is in the real world for certain, but are we going to say that we reject mathematics? We don't know and cannot prove certainly that rationality itself is something we can prove, unless you use rationality, in which case you're going to be using a circular argument, which again is a logical fallacy. Are you going to here be logically consistent and say that we're going to reject rationality? No, you're not. But what you're doing is you're using selective critique of certain arguments you don't want to believe in, for whatever reason, whatever predisposed reason that you have, or for whatever psychological reason you have, and you're disregarding other things. So in other words, we won't accept the cosmological argument because we don't know this premise is certainly true, but what, on the other hand, we will do is we will accept mathematics, having the same criticism could be made of mathematics.
True.
We will accept science, even though the same criticism could be made of science. We will accept rationality, even though rationality, the same criticism can be made of rationality.
2 minutes.
That's called hypocrisy in discussion. Point one. Point two, you talked about the fine tuning as if that you've actually caricatured the fine tuning as if those who refer to it, people like your friend Stephen Hawking, who you sat with and you had an interview with and you filmed him, your friend, the disabled one, him, when you discussed it in his own book, A Brief History of Time, he mentioned fine tuning. And he or any of the cosmologists, when they refer to the fine-tuning, they don't refer to the planetary bodies and the heating of the planet Earth. No, no. Martin Rees in his book, Just Six Numbers, and others, they refer to the laws of physics. Had they been different by decimal numbers, decimal points, the universe itself wouldn't be allowed or couldn't bear human life or any life. No life would be able to be in the universe. It's nothing to do with the planet Earth. So you've caricatured. You made a straw man called the fine-tuning argument, which actually is nothing to do with the fine-tuning argument.
1 minute.
You slapped it down in front of everyone to make it seem like you've slapped down argument. But what you've actually done is you've just slapped down something which no one invented anyways. No one was referring to that kind of fine-tuning. Point number three. You mentioned that even in your trying to slap down the straw man, you didn't do a good job. Why? Because you said that the fact that we can see that there are other ways to heat a planet. Who cares if there are other ways to hit a planet? We're not talking, even when we're talking about the planetary example of the planet Earth, that there are other ways to hit a planet. It doesn't matter if there are other ways to hit a planet. If the planet is in a certain position, respective to other planets and respective to the sun, and that position is in a different position, then it would have been destroyed, too hot, too cold. Anyone can understand that. That's a different argument. We're saying that the planet itself is in a good position, but that's not the fine-tuning argument. So you have to now refute the points of fine-tuning. Go ahead.
Right, so you made three arguments. You said, one, that if we're not certain, I'm inconsistently using certainty. Okay, the criteria is not certainty. I'm not saying we dismiss the Kalam because we're not certain that the assumptions are true. I'm saying we don't even have any good evidence that they're true. I'm happy to go with non-certainty. Okay, no, don't interrupt me. Okay, now give me an extra 10 seconds.
Extra 10
time because you interrupted me.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so we're not looking for certainty. So you're mischaracterizing what I'm saying or strawmanning me. I never said certainty. What we're saying is the evidence good enough to point to the conclusion? And with cosmology, we don't, it's not the question we're not certain the universe began to exist, is that we really just don't know. The evidence is not there at all. We only know there was some type of Big Bang event. We don't know the true nature of this event. We don't know whether it was the beginning of time or not. Therefore, the cosmological argument is not just a question of a lack of certainty, it's a lack of any evidence at all for what happened in the Planck era. So that argument, you've mischaracterized what I'm saying. Second point, you said I've mischaracterized the fine-tuning because I only talked about the planets, right? But I didn't just talk about the planets. I gave an example of the expansion rate of the early universe, okay, which you completely ignored. What I was trying to show was that there were people claiming fine-tunings, and you can show that they don't necessarily point to an intelligent creator, okay? And I gave you not just the planets. I gave you the example of the expansion rate of the early universe. So in your rebuttal, you should address that, okay? There are other things that people have addressed. So for example, people have said the rate of inflation in the early universe, this is different to the claimed expansion because that's the flatness problem. So if flatness is addressed by inflation, and people have said, oh, inflation needs fine-tuning, okay? Or people said, but yet again, in loop quantum gravity, you can show that inflation does not need fine-tuning, okay? So again, these statements are model-dependent statements, and really what you're saying is that in your model, there's fine-tuning, but that's just a flaw in your model. That doesn't tell you there's an intelligent creator, okay? Another example, there's people who've made the claim that the strength of the... How long?
2 minutes.
Okay, people have made the claim that the strength of the strong force is perfectly fine-tuned, right? Now... Again, other people have claimed, no, that you could change the strong force, okay? And you could have a wide range of values for that. And so therefore, again, you're assuming this fine-tuning is some kind of fact, but it isn't. Of course, you can't confirm, you cannot do an experiment where you change the value of a constant and observe whether the universe actually has life in it. And you can show, if I gave you the standard laws of physics and the values for all the constants, and I asked you to predict whether there would be life in it, you would not get the answer right. You cannot derive that from the laws of physics as we know them. Okay? So secondly, right, so obviously we want to talk about the multiverse, because if there's a multiverse, fine-tuning is gone, right? Now, the multiverse stems from inflation in cosmology, which we do have some evidence for. Right? Inflation predicted NS equals 0.96. We observed it to be 0.96. It predicts the cosmic microwave background is Gaussian, it's adiabatic, that there are superhorizon correlations. I don't have time to explain all these terms. But the fact is, you can go on NASA's WMAP website and they say, we have found evidence for inflation. You can watch our film where we speak to the head guy on the Planck satellite, and he said, not only do we have evidence for inflation, but we have evidence for multiverse, because the type of inflation that's favored by Planck data points to a multiverse. Moreover, Steven Weinberg predicted that there would be a cosmological constant on the back of a multiverse, and sure enough, that is exactly what we found. So we make predictions. Okay, I'm not saying it's certain. It may or may not exist. We don't know. But you can't say there's no evidence for it. There's certainly more evidence for that than there is for God.
Okay, I'm really happy with this, because you started off by saying something which is embarrassing. I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry. But because you're an intelligent person, and you know that, you know, I'm you know.
Get on with it.
I'm going to have 5 seconds bonus time. Because you're an intelligent person. Allow me to be a bit, you know.
Okay, carry on.
Point being, you started off by saying there's no evidence for the fine-tuning, for the cosmological argument. You have to understand here that the premise of the cosmological argument is in fact something you can't find evidence against, and I'll challenge you. In fact, the premise of the cosmological argument is that everything that begins to exist has a cause. Now, what I want you to do here is show me a range of things that begin to exist in our known universe without cause. Okay, if you're saying that there's no evidence, then the statement shouldn't make sense in any context. The statement shouldn't even make any sense. But that's a false thing to actually claim. It's embarrassing that you've actually claimed that. Worry number two. You then talked about the expansion of the early universe as if, once again, miscategorizing the fine-tuning argument to, or specifying it to one thing, which is the expansion of the early universe. The fine-tuning argument has absolutely nothing to do with that. It can exist completely independent of the expansion of the universe. It can exist in a model of the universe which is not even expanding. And that is what Martin Rees wrote in his book, Just Six Numbers. His six numbers that he talked about, and I want you to refute this in your rebuttal, the six numbers that he talked about were constants that are actually governing the laws of physics. Or there are six numbers that are basically, I don't know how many digits there are, but they're basically the laws of physics as we know them. Had these numbers been just a little bit different, then the universe would not be able to maintain or have any kind of life, not just human life, any kind of life. That's the fine-tuning argument. We're not talking about the aesthetics of the universe, how beautiful it looks. We're not talking about how warm planet Earth is. We're not talking about the expansions of the early universe. We are talking about the fact that the universe is intelligently designed. It must be intelligently designed in such a way as to even allow atheist people like Richard Dawkins and Stephen Hawking and your friend to actually admit that it's fine-tuning. Fine-tuning itself has a connotation of it must have been finely tuned. Having said this, I want you to now, in your rebuttal, explain to the rest of the audience members here today that actually the fine-tuning doesn't exist and it couldn't exist. Because if you do say that, then you will be going against what seems to me like a cosmological consensus among the physicists. Most of the physicists have come to this conclusion, even atheist ones. Now, you're coming non-specialized in the field, trying to challenge the consensus and say, no, it's not actually fine-tuning. That is disingenuous, not only to yourself, but also to your atheist counterparts who decided to disagree with you. Now, this is the argument today. If you do agree with the probability type reasoning, then the fine-tuning argument as an argument to indicate that the fine-tuning of the universe is actually a fine-tuning which necessitates an intelligence, that argument should be like a hand in a glove. It should fit like a hand in a glove. You should look at the universe around you just by your naked eye and come to a complete conclusion that the universe, being finely tuned as it is, necessitates an intelligent designer. And if you don't do that, then you've got to tell me of one example of something even remotely as complex as the universe. And before you ask, complex means in get things that have different parts all in one place. Something that is as complex of the universe, having no intelligence behind it. You've got to tell me now of anything in the known universe which is even remotely as closely finely tuned as the universe, which has no intelligence behind it. Go ahead and tell us.
Okay, so first off, he said I have, on the Kalam cosmological argument, he says that I haven't presented any evidence that the assumptions of the argument are false. But I don't need to. You don't need to prove that the assumptions are false. You only need to show that there's no evidence that they're true. So, for example, if I want to get someone off on a murder trial, I don't have to prove that my defendant didn't do it. I only have to show that the evidence that he did do it is no good. And then I can dismiss the case. So I can dismiss the Kalam cosmological argument without proving that any of the things are false. I only need to show that you haven't proved that they're true. And I have shown that. So, with the fine-tuning argument, he said that the expansion rate of the early universe was nothing to do with the fine-tuning argument. That is complete nonsense. I encourage you, go and watch debates that theologians have done where they've quoted the fine-tuning argument. This is actually the most quoted example of fine-tuning. Now, the point being that if you can show that you've got an example of fine-tuning and it doesn't necessarily imply an intelligent designer, that it has a natural explanation, then you cannot infer fine-tuning implies designer. You ask for one example of some fan... This is fine-tuned to 60 decimal places. Okay? That's the claim. But we have a completely natural explanation for that. You can show that in inflationary cosmology, the fine-tuning completely goes away. So you wanted one example. There's your example. The fine-tuning of the expansion rate of the early universe, which has been used by many theologians, like Muslims like Hamza Sorsis, Adam Dean, they've all used this examples. Okay? William Lane Craig used it because, of course, they all copy William Lane Craig and you know it, right? And so this is one of the most used examples of fine-tuning. Okay? So it's certainly the case that we do have an example of fine-tuning that doesn't require an intelligent creator. So this idea that you can infer fine-tuning, therefore intelligent design, no, you cannot, right? Second off, you say it's a complete consensus that there is fine-tuning. That's not true. There are a lot of cosmologists, you are right, that say there's fine-tuning. But what you fail to mention is there are a lot of cosmologists who say no, there isn't, okay? Including some of the cosmologists that these guys quote. I interviewed Alan Guth, one of the world's leading cosmologists, and he says, I don't buy fine-tuning. I don't think there is fine-tuning, except one case. He did say he thinks the cosmological constant is fine-tuned, right? He did say that. However, you can read in Nature, very well-known established physicists like Carlo Rovelli, Eugene Bianchi, they say, Don Page, who's actually a Christian, right? This guy's a theist. And he doesn't think the cosmological constant is fine-tuned. So there's a lot more doubt about this fine-tuning than you pretend. Yes, I agree. There are people like Martin Rees who say there's fine-tuning. But I'm not going to dispute that for a second.
Thank you.
But the bottom line is, you cannot actually... The way we decide these differences in science is do experiments, okay? But you cannot do an experiment where you change a constant of nature and see if life comes about. There are plenty of cosmologists who say you can change these constants and life will still come about, okay? We don't know. Now, even if there is fine-tuning, right, we do have a good explanation for fine-tuning. Right. As I say, if there's a multiverse, you've got a perfectly reasonable explanation for fine-tuning. Now, I'm not going to claim we know there's a multiverse, but we do have some evidence. It's not overwhelming evidence. I don't want to claim that it is, but there is some evidence for a multiverse in the form of inflationary cosmology. And if you don't believe me, you can watch our videos, and we will interview some of the world's leading cosmologists, and they say, and observational cosmologists, not just theoretical ones, and they will tell you what the observational evidence is.
15 seconds.
Okay, so the facts are, if you have something improbable, you could conclude that someone is fixing things, but you could also conclude you have to be able to have a range of probabilities. In a universe, you don't know what the probabilistic range is, so you don't know, you can't make that argument.
Ha! Now
we still want to carry on 4 minutes each?
Yeah, we'll do a couple
of minutes. No, can you not just like talk? Because this is like.
No, this is good. I like
4 minutes.
All right, 3 minutes each.
Yeah, make it 3 minutes, man.
But it means we don't interrupt each other.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's good. Two or three?
Three.
Okay, ready,
let me tell you something, right? In the beginning, he said. Oh, he quoted some names. I can't remember who the first name you quoted was, but you quoted a name and then you said, oh, they don't believe in fine-tuning. And then you said, except for this situation, or except for the cosmological constant.
Yeah. So it's Alan like, Guth.
Alan Guth, yeah?
And Stephen Weinberg, I believe.
Okay,
it's really interesting.
Yeah. It's incredibly interesting here that you attempt to refute the fine-tuning with people who actually accept it, especially in certain cases. So you have not found, really, even in your refutation of me, and you're someone who's meant to have interviewed all the, you know, the majority of...
No, I haven't interviewed all of them. I've interviewed some.
On the way.
You've not even found... Okay, this is the thing. The expansion rate of the universe, I told you before that I'm not resting my case on that. I'm resting my case just in this instance. Let's talk about the six numbers. Then you said, okay, I don't deny the six numbers. Therefore, I win the argument. It's finished. It's as simple as that. If I say the six numbers of Martin Rees constitute fine-tuning, and you have no refutation of that, forget about me. The argument has been won by one side, and that's how you just have to be humble and admit it. Forget about the...
Carry on.
Yeah, number two, with the cosmological argument, I'm going to come as well, yeah, after this, after he finishes it. With the cosmological argument, you said that it's completely solved with multiverse. As you rightly pointed out yourself, multiverse is completely speculative. You could say as speculative, more speculative than some religious beliefs. Fine. But what I'm going to say is even more than this. Actually, it's not solved with the multiverse. You have to say it's only solved in a situation whereby you not only have a multiverse, but you have a possibility or reality of an infinite amount of multiverses. So you have to have, we have to believe in two things without seeing them and knowing them. You have to believe in the multiverse, and then you have to believe in a multiverse that has an infinite amount of universes in them. Now, even if you do that, you haven't solved the problem of fine-tuning. Why? Because you'd have to change the question that you put into the total probability generator, because in maths there's different kinds of probability, like Bayes theory, total probability. We're using total probability, which is part of probability theory in maths. You'd have to change the question you ask the calculator from, to what extent is this universe finely tuned, to what extent is a universe finely tuned? In other words, changing the question from the indefinite article, from a definite article, to the indefinite. So you'd have to actually not only have a million or billion or not even an infinite amount of universes, you'd have to change the question you're asking as well. So in essence, even if you had the multiverse, and even if you had an infinite amount of universes, this doesn't even disprove fine tuning.
Okay. So right to respond, right.
First, yeah, we're going to wrap up.
He said,
yeah.
He said, I said the multiverse disproves the cosmological argument. Now I said it disproves the fine-tuning argument. So let's get it straight. Second off, he said that because I quoted people like Alan Guth who don't believe in fine-tuning apart from one example, and the fact that they agree with that example means that I've been refuted. Absolutely not. The point is, there's no consensus on this stuff. Right? Yes, Guth agrees cosmological constant is fine-tuned. Actually, I should say only if the cosmological constant is the vacuum, okay? Which cosmological constant may not be the vacuum. And he even gave that qualification, if you've seen that interview.
I haven't seen it.
Right, well, maybe you should.
I'll watch it. You okay. Keep advertising your materials.
Yeah, yeah. Like Skydive Phil before the Big Bang, right? Because he said, if...
Subscribe to my channel on YouTube.
If the cosmological constant is...
It's my name, I'm
the
hijab.
Okay, yeah. If the cosmological constant
is... Advertise, man.
Okay, come on.
Sorry.
I'm getting bonus time.
It's alright, go on. Right.
If the cosmological
we're going to conclude anyways.
Is the vacuum energy density, then it's finely tuned. But of course,
really?
This is what Carlo Rovelli is saying. Well, maybe the cosmological constant is not the vacuum energy density, and then it's not fine tuned. Right? So there isn't this consensus. There are and it's not just the early expansion rate of the early universe.
Six numbers.
Like the strength of the strong force.
Six numbers.
Yeah, the strength of the strong force. Not agreed upon. Sean Carroll, another cosmologist, said he doesn't believe in fine-tuning. Roger Penrose says he doesn't believe in fine-tuning.
Six numbers.
He does... Right, okay, can you not keep interrupting me?
Sorry.
I want bonus time. Right, so...
We're going to leave it after this, isn't it?
Does say that the entropy of the early universe is fine-tuned, but not fine-tuned for life. This is the difference, okay? Because the entropy of the universe, early universe could be enormously higher. And it would still allow for life, okay? So theism would not explain why the entropy of the universe is low.
Okay, about entropy.
Why this has been taken out of context is because when people have quoted Penrose, let's say the entropy of the universe is fine-tuned, what he's saying is that he thinks this is evidence of a cyclic universe because there would be a mechanism that sets the entropy into a low state. Now, you're saying that the multiverse would not, even if it exists, wouldn't disprove fine-tuning because it's about the indefinite article. But what you're missing out is the selection effect, right? You are only going to find yourself in a universe that can support life. You can't find yourself in a universe that doesn't support life because you're alive. So therefore, your argument about the indefinite article is invalid.
Okay. 30 seconds.
So the fact is, you said the multiverse is completely speculation. That is utter, total bullshit, right? We have evidence for inflation, and we have evidence that inflation happened and inflation predicts a multiverse, okay? That's not me saying that. That's what NASA and ESA say, okay? So therefore, we have evidence. Now, again, I'm not saying that this evidence is overwhelming, that inflation has been definitely proved,
yeah.
And that therefore, in multiverse been definitely proved. I'm not saying that,
yeah.
But it is not complete speculation either. There is some evidence for it.
Okay. Can I have 1 minute?
1 minute.
1 minute. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Do you know what?
Right, 1 minute.
I'll just do 1 minute. No, that's your final thing, isn't it?
That's
nice
try. No, if you're wrapping up, I get to wrap up.
Let's all wrap up.
Okay, fine.
You go ahead first. 1 minute.
No, you go ahead first.
Okay. All right, fine. That's cool. That's not for me. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Okay.
Sorry.
Wait,
sounds like a breach.
Okay, listen. It seems like my major argument today, I've only put one argument forward. I wasn't necessarily propounding the cosmological argument, but I was defending it from certain things that he was saying, which I believe were unsubstantiated. I don't believe the cosmological argument itself, in and of itself, as a standalone thing, should be used too much in the da'wah. We should have a basket of different kinds of arguments we're using. As it relates to the fine-tuning argument, which I put as a supplement, or as the main argument today, actually, you have to remember, I talked about as a main argument, the work of Muz that detailed the natural environment from a physics perspective,
15.
Which had they been different, the universe would not be finely tuned for human life. And therefore, if you can do it now. If not, we have to admit that actually you have no answer.
Okay.
All right, 1 minute, go for it.
First off, he quoted Martin Rees. What he forgot to mention, he's misquoting Martin Rees, because Martin Rees is saying that we've got evidence for a multiverse. And he thinks that's a solution to the fine-tuning. So even though Rees thinks there is fine-tuning, right, you're forgetting the fact that he thinks there's evidence for a multiverse. So he doesn't think that's God, and you've conveniently ignored
I didn't say anything about God.
Can you not interrupt me? Sorry. Can I get 10 seconds extra?
No, but I had to...
You interrupt me 10 seconds extra.
That's cool, take your time.
Okay, right.
I didn't say God, do
it. So first off, right, just because Martin Rees says it, there are other cosmologists that don't agree. And the point about science is you have to confirm things by experiment. You cannot experimentally confirm that these constants have to be fine-tuned. Even if they are fine-tuned, right, it doesn't necessarily prove God. It could be a multiverse, or it could be something other than a multiverse. There are other solutions. People have proposed that the cosmological constants might vary throughout the universe. And we actually have seen some observational evidence in the form of alpha that this might be the case. Now, this evidence is tentative. I'm not saying it's anything definitive about it, but it certainly doesn't prove God. And one last thing, that even if it was fine-tuned, right? Think of this. Why would a God need to fine-tune the constants of nature? Don't you think that God is going to create life via supernatural intervention anyway? So he doesn't need...
But it is possible.
Right? Okay. But what I'm saying is, if he's going to create life by supernatural intervention, he doesn't need to fine-tune the constants, does he?
There could be reasons that we don't know.
Right. But you get my point, right?
Anyways, so there's a theologian.
Can I just make this one last point? Right?
Just no. Just let me shake your hand first. Let me shake your hand first.
Thank you, because
thank you very much, man. Listen, guys, I'm very happy I spoke to you because you're clearly well researched. Yeah,
yes.
Clearly very intelligent, strapping young man. I know this. Look at this.
Where's your gym, mate?
Is this why you were talking about a dance off? Because basically you do that in your spare time. Yeah. Show us something right here, right now. Let's change the speaker's corner to dancer's corner. Show us something right here, right now. Let's do it, man. Here we go, man.
Back up,
after this, you're going to realize it's fine-tuned, man.
Fine-tuning, Phil.
Show us something right now.
I need some space.
I'm going to take this camera away before it gets destroyed. Okay, now. Show us something right now. All right, here we go. Oppa! Oppa! Oh, no! Oh! The Holy Spirit has taken care of you, man!
Holy!
Oh, no!
Good stuff,
huh? Oh! Alright, anyways.
So you guys agree to disagree?
Yeah, right.